We ran out of time.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering.
The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is new media.
Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar. Ranger fans, report to the critical thinking hangar.
And now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey. Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio, part two of Blue Shirt Underground 24/7. Part three will be at 10 o'clock tonight when we join the great Colin Cosell, new friend of the show, for icing for everyone. So hopefully you guys had hit the pause button on the DVR for 24/7, which we're all looking forward to. Join us for a few minutes over there and then get back to the show. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just came back from Chili's. Back from the scene of the crime when that guy told me the score when I was DVRing the game. Remember when I was talking about that a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I do.
celebrating my wife's birthday, and it was a fantastic family gathering.
Is today Chris's birthday?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, I didn't realize it.
Your Facebook messages? You're not friends with my wife on Facebook? How dare you?
I am, but, 90% of the time I now spend on Facebook is done on my phone, and it doesn't bring up the notifications unless I specifically go looking for them as to whose birthday it is or anything like that. So please wish your wife a very, very happy birthday. Frosty, thank you very much. All the best to your lovely wife.
Look at this, Christina. People in the chat room saying, happy birthday, Chris.
Happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday, sweet 16, as I always say to women on their birthday.
She is saying thank you, and thanks to the Underground for the well wishes.
looking forward to seeing her 2 weeks from tonight. Now, if you're in the Facebook group, you saw the messages back and forth this morning and earlier today. There has been a change in venue for the Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party on December 28th, 2 weeks from tonight. This is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. Okay, we cannot be at the Blarney Rock. There is a concert that night at Madison Square Garden. Fish will be there. To be honest with you, I've never understood their popularity. They got a song or two that are tolerable. The rest of it, I don't get it. But whatever. They're going to be at the Garden. Apparently, they're a very big draw when they play at the Garden. So, Tom at the Blarney Rock said, look, I can't take care of you guys the way I would want to. So, let me help you find another venue, which he has done. And quite honestly, with no disrespect to Tom Dwyer and the Blarney Rock, which is a terrific place, I think we're going to be better off. So, the Blue Shirt Underground Radio viewing party will be December 28th, beginning at about 5 p.m. at Slattery's Midtown Pub, 8 East 36th Street. It's on 36th Street, obviously.
Do we all have our pens and papers? Okay, go ahead.
And I am pasting the Google Map link in the chat room for those of you that want to take a look. It is on 36th Street between 5th Avenue and Madison Avenue. About, I would say, an 8-minute walk from the Garden, 5 minutes from Penn Station, or I should say the PATH train. If you come off the PATH train there at ANS Plaza or whatever they call that, Manhattan Plaza or Manhattan Mall, whatever it's called now. It used to be ANS Plaza. I'm dating myself. Whatever. 5 minute walk. Now, let me tell you why it's going to be better. Okay, there were some concerns about the size of the Blarney Rock, but we will have no such problems at Slattery's, Eddie. Listen to this. Slattery's has a room upstairs in the bar that fits up to 150 people, and Blue Shirt Underground Radio will dominate that room. That will be our room for the party, Eddie.
What a private room?
We're going to be like NBA players up there in the private room at Goldie's or Christie's Cabaret. That's the way we do this. So, yeah, we'll have the whole room to ourselves up there. And of special benefit to our loyal listeners and our terrific following out there, they have a PA system with microphone. We will be able to do the live broadcast that we wanted to do that night right there in the bar right in front of you. You'll get to see the whole live show.
Yes, a special live show. It's not going to be broadcast on the radio, so internet radio rather. So it's going to be sick. That's all I can say. It's going to be sick. I've already bought some props.
Off the hook.
It's going to be off the chain, off the hook. We take on the Capitals, Ovechkin or his love chicken. You put an L in front of Ovechkin, you get love chicken. Why they still find that very funny at my age, I don't know. But it's going to be
great. Yes. And your video just went kaput. To answer a question that just came up in the chat room, there are 4 big screens up in the private room. So we'll be able to, not only will we be able to watch the game, but we'll be able to have sound. You don't have to worry about if there's other people in the bar that want to watch basketball, college basketball, whatever.
Screw that shit.
I agree, but admit it, let's face it. You go into a bar, in the middle of winter and not everybody wants to watch hockey. People are crazy, but we will have the room. We'll have all the TVs and we'll have volume. So you'll be able to watch the game. I think even last year, as great a job as the what was the name of the bar we were at last year? The Point and Still. They did a great job, hooking us up. We had TVs all over the place with the Ranger game on, but I don't think we had any volume. And that place was packed with a lot of people that weren't there to watch the game. And even the Molly Wee, there were a lot of people there that weren't there to watch the game, and it was a little hard, to get volume. But this way, we're going to have a private room all to ourselves. We'll have servers taking care of us. Lap dances. What else? Champagne.
There'll be no sex in the champagne room. That's all I can tell you.
No promise.
Bossy wants to watch Kitchen Nightmares. Gordon Ramsay will be there. Actually, we'll just have Jeff Cooper come in and imitate Gordon Ramsay. He'll call in through phone. Like, you donkey, you made that risotto wrong.
So I'm really excited about this. John Slattery, the owner, I spoke to him. Sounds like a great guy. He promised me. He said I'm going to take real good care of you guys. You'll be real happy. So I'm pretty excited about it. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think it's the perfect place for us. I'm looking forward to it. I wish we'd this might be our future home for future viewing parties. So we'll see. So there you have it. 2 weeks from right now, we'll be drinking it up. And what did I tell Marcy? Sent me a text message the other day, and she said, "What time is the viewing party?" And I said, "Well, I said I think we're going to start about 5, because I know it's a work night for some people, and it's middle of the week, and so not everybody's going to be able to stay probably till the end of the game like our other viewing parties." But I said to her, party starts at 5, drunk by game time, arrested by the beginning of the third period, and out on bail by midnight.
That's right. Let me just have a brief moment here, and I remember, because I've been meaning to do this for weeks. The guys from We Bleed Blue, they have been wanting me to give them a shout-out. They're a hell of a bunch of guys, and they have a Facebook group. Definitely check it out. I highly recommend. I saw them. They actually met with Scott Farrell. Is that his name? Scott Farrell?
Yeah, I saw pictures. They were on his show the other day.
Yeah. Very good guys over there. And I want to welcome Evolution. Evolution, what does it say? FUBA? FUBA?
NBA.
NBA. Well, NBA.
Evolution of NBA.
FUBA, that's too far away from the NBA. But anyway, what else? I had somebody say, High C, the great High C, who will be watching the game with me tomorrow night. He's coming over to my house.
Very nice.
He's got parole, and he'll be there. So I just wanted to get those three things out.
The Rangers will begin a road trip tomorrow. They're in St. Louis tomorrow, and then on Saturday, they're right here in Glendale, Arizona, at the Jobbing.com Arena. And I will be there at the game. My friend Chuck and I, we're bringing the wives to the game. It's my my wife's first New York Rangers game. And I'm looking forward to that. So the plan is we have a show scheduled for 5 p.m. Saturday. Eddie will be manning the switchboard. I'll be live on the scene. We're going to work the crowd, try and get some Ranger fans to call in. I'm sure a bunch of them will. I'm going to make up little I'm going to try and make up, not cards, but just like a little piece of paper with our logo on it and the website and the call-in number. And, you know, hopefully people will just be calling in right there from outside
be fun.
Westgate. I think we'll have a good crowd out there.
Especially when I met me doing issue, I kind of miss the – I love co-hosting. Let me tell you, it's fantastic. But me being in control of things and interviews, I'm kind of jazzed for this. I'm kind of like want to be at the helm and –
You can run this switchboard anytime you want.
Anytime.
You can have the next 2 years. Tell you what, you take the next 2 years.
Dude,
I told you that. This is.
I know. If you could see too bad my video's done. I'm waving it off like no go. Please take the Block Talk nonsense. Let's get down to it. Let's get down to beeswax. Let's break it down. Let's bring it down to street level. Jimmy, I heard you got a rant. I've been waiting for this all day. So let's you want to go into it?
If you want to, I don't know if it's going to turn into a rant so much as I try not to be one of these reactionary fans. We lost the game. We got to tear it all down. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to be. But we're 27, what is it, 27, 28 games into this season now, and we've kind of hinted along the way. You know, I think as each show's gone on, I've started to kind of voice just a little bit more displeasure with Brian Boyle every time. And last night, after watching that game, coupled with the fact that they lost, I've seen a lot of people say, oh, it was a good game. Not to me. I think they played right into Dallas's hands all night long. Dallas controlled that game from the drop of the puck and won exactly what they wanted to do, was to win a 1-0 game, and the Rangers just played to it. You think I'm wrong?
Oh, yeah. We're going to go to battle on this one.
All right.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. We'll get to this. We'll get to that later.
But it's enough. Brian Boyle, I've had enough. He's out there on the power play. Why? He's out there with a minute and a half to go. He's on the ice. Why? What does he do? Now, I know Brandon Dubinsky has had statistically just as poor a beginning. Actually, he's worse. He's got one goal less than Boyle, if I'm not mistaken. But Brandon Dubinsky at least does a few. I hate to use that. I'm not even going to say the LT phrase that we use. There are other things that he does that are valuable. Okay? Brian Boyle, he does nothing. I'm going to use your phrase. What does he do? What does he do? He can't win faceoffs. He can't skate. He can't shoot. He does nothing. He does absolutely nothing. He's Barb Underhill. They ought to get their money back from Barb Underhill, because whatever she taught Boyle, he's completely forgotten. So I went back and looked at the numbers, okay? Because everybody likes to, well, not everybody, but a lot of people like to hang their hat on that 20-goal season last year, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
So let me throw this at you. Brian Boyle scored his 20th goal in game number 63 last year.
I knew this was coming. I knew you were going to go to this stat when I was thinking about it all day. Go ahead.
Since then, since game 63 of last season, 3 goals in 46 regular season games, 3 goals in 51 games, including the playoffs. I didn't count the assists. I would put them at about, just off the top of my head, I think he's got around 10 assists in those 46 or 51 games. That's not good. That's not good.
That's
three
tough.
Goals in four. This guy scored 20 goals in 63 games. And since then, in almost as many, I mean, we're not far off from it. He's not going to match that number, okay? So, since then, in 46 games, this guy's got 3 goals. Tell me what he does. And, you know, I've asked this question a few times on this show in the 2 years we've been doing it together. I've asked this question about a couple of different players. And nobody's ever called to argue with me to tell me, when I say, what does he do? Tell me what he does. Nobody does. If somebody could call into this show, 646-478-4692, and tell me what I'm missing about Brian Boyle's game, okay? I asked this question about the former captain, and nobody could really ever call in and tell me what he did. Now I want to know what Brian Boyle does. Can somebody tell me what Brian Boyle does? Because I don't see anything from this guy. Why is Brian Boyle on the ice with a minute and a half to go in the game? Why is Brian Boyle on the ice?
Why is he on the power play?
Well,
he's
that
got
was my
three goals in 51 games.
Why is he on the power play with 4 minutes left in the game? Why? If it makes no sense. And John Tortorella after the game says he gave us good minutes. When? What? Name me 2 good minutes. When? Was it when he was? Was it when the puck was coming at him, he's standing in front of the net, and he swatted at him, and it went in the opposite direction? Was that one of the good minutes? I don't think so. He's just not good. I like to quote my co-host. He's just not good. He's just not a good hockey player. If he's not skating, and he's not scoring, and he's not providing any offense, he's not getting any assists either. He's not good.
Frosty brings up a good point. He's 2, though. It's the old 2 factor.
Brandon Dushitsky. I had to laugh. I'm laughing at Howie.
Yeah.
I mean, what does he do?
Well,
he makes Taglin look even faster. That's true.
You know, that's a good point about that. I love that line, but I don't like him. So it's bringing me down. Imagine what that line could do without him. It's not
imagine,
like the dominant.
Yeah, just imagine what Taglin could do. God, let Eric Christensen play with Haglin. Right now, I'd rather see Eric Christensen in the lineup than Brian Boyle. That's what Brian Boyle has done to me.
Wow.
That's what Brian Boyle has done to me. Come on, you're going to tell me, give it a chance.
No, I'm picking Christensen. At least, you know, maybe get to the shootout. And he hasn't been all that bad, Christensen, since his return. But Boyle has just been, I mean, you pointed out there, you play 51 NHL games, you're a center iceman, you get third line minutes, you got 3 goals. You know, he's not, if he was a dominant face-off guy, I say maybe. You don't think Chris Newberry could get 3 goals in 51 games? He probably could.
Probably could.
Guy gets a pay raise. Now, a lot of people want to say, oh, well, you know, he got the pay raise, he had a good contract year. I don't think that works so much in hockey. I don't think he elevated his play to get a bigger contract. I think he just had a career year. Let's face it, he had a career 50 games, 60 games.
And if he did, what happened to him the last 25 games of the season?
Yeah.
I think this guy just stepped in a pile of horse shit, and it lasted 63. It ran out in game 63.
But going back to your point, with Tortorella saying that He's given us good minutes. How long do you think this is going to run with? I mean, how long is we going to? He's going to get carte blanche or remain a guy who's going to be in the lineup if he doesn't score?
I don't know.
How long is he going to last? He doesn't hit. I mean, I'm not a proponent of every big guy's got to hit, but when you're 6'7" and then with 250, you know, throw me a bone once in a while. And why he's on the power play at all, I have no idea. Last minute, if you're down a goal, I don't want him out there. Who in their right mind would put him out there? Get that big body in front of that? Sorry, that doesn't work. That big body. He just doesn't go there.
He doesn't
take the play.
It'll work if the guy has skill. Tim Kerr made a living out of it. I'm trying to find the rest of his numbers. His face-off numbers for the year and everything. If you want to talk for a minute while I do that.
Well, you don't have to invite me to talk. I'll just, my name is the mouth, so I can fill time. Now, every Ranger fan knew last year was a career year. There was no one who was expecting the 22, whatever he had last year. No Ranger fan, and there's, I think most of us here in the underground and most of everybody around the Ranger, the Ranger fandom did not think Boyle was going to repeat. And he did get a pay raise. It wasn't, a tremendous amount of money, but it still was a reward. And he's being paid to do that, maybe not 22 goals, but perhaps, 15. And he plays on the line, that I think brings a lot of energy to the team. I think he's bringing it down. And I think I don't know when it's going to be addressed. Maybe he brings those intangibles defensively, he's defensively responsible. I don't know. It's amazing that he's lasted this long without, going under the gun.
He is a plus five.
He's a plus five this year, or
he's a plus five. Yeah, he's a plus five this year. I don't see his face-off numbers. Wait a minute, hold on. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, he's always a little bit over 50%. He's nothing, anything special on face-offs. I mean, I don't know what his stats are this year. For a bigger guy, he should be doing more, I think. And I don't necessarily need him to be running everybody through the boards every game, but I need to see him knocking people on their butts just occasionally, not getting knocked off his butt by Anthony Stewart, which to me that was the epitome of Brian Boyle in that game when Anthony Stewart, just out-muscled him and knocked him on his ass. I mean, big guy, you're supposed to go down that bit. I mean, guy's got to be strong on his skates, 6'7". How much leverage that is? So, I mean, we right now we have 7 losses. There's very few things to harp on. But you'd like to improve wherever you can improve. I think they can improve O'Brien Boyle. Dubinsky, Tortorella is sticking with him. He's putting him out there on the power play. He's given him his best opportunity. I don't want to hear when Dubinsky gets benched eventually. A Tortorella, he's a bully. He doesn't, don't give people a chance. He doesn't want to give Avery a chance. Dubinsky needs to sit upstairs for a game. He needs his ass woken up. That's it. Bottom line. Don't put him in fourth line. You're up. You're watching the game from up above. Learn what it is to sit out. Maybe it'll wake him up. I mean, he looked okay last night. Then he takes a stupid penalty. That tripping penalty he took was ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And he does take those type of penalties, too. Even when he's playing good, I'm still frustrated with his dumb penalties. Then when he's playing bad, then I can't get behind him. You can take stupid penalties. I can't wait till we get to this game. because I watched this game twice because people saw a different game than I saw. Maybe I was in my own little world. I think, I was back in 1981. It was, instead of Dallas Stars, it was the Minnesota North Stars and Don Beaupre. The diminutive Don Beaupre was in net.
Lou Nanny.
Lou Nanny was the coach, and Bobby Smith and all those guys, and Neil Broughton, Brad Maxwell. But anyway,
Boyle is 52% on faceoffs, by the way.
That's about where he always is, just above 50%.
Yeah.
But just in no great shakes. So I he's just not good. Come on.
He's just not good.
It's not good. I mean,
not
you get, three goals. What would we say, 3-51?
Three goals in 46 regular season games, 51 games including the playoffs.
It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. Okay. You got anything to say about Dubinsky? That hasn't already been said?
No. No. You covered it. I'm a Boyle first.
Boyle.
Like I said, I'm still seeing, I'm a little down on Dubinsky as well. Not as down as others, but I am seeing other pieces of value from him. Not $4 million worth, but that's besides the point. But right now it's on Boyle, and he's just not good. he's just not good.
Now let's get down to this game. Now you know I respect your opinion, probably like none other. I saw this game on a totally different level. I saw this game as the Rangers had a ton of opportunities. I saw this game, Rangers dominated the second period, could not put the puck past Bachman Turner overdrive there.
Michelle Bachman,
he played a hell of a game. I thought Dallas played a game where they were hitting, they were into it, they shut down Gabrick for the most part. I thought the Rangers had a lot of chances. I really did. Their passing, however, was not sharp last night, the Rangers.
No, not at all.
There were some key plays where they could have really capitalized on some opportunities and did not. But if you were to go back and watch that second period, the Rangers would dominate. Once it on the power plays, they didn't score. Michael Delzato, love him, but you know what, dude? Well, actually, I can't say that. Michael Delzato, I'm lukewarm to you, but dude, you got to hit the net more. A couple times he hit the net. Two or three times, he didn't hit the net. I think Anton Strålman played a very good game. He's progressing nicely. I thought Ryan McDonagh had a good game. I thought Henrik Lundqvist had an excellent game. I saw it as an old-fashioned goalie duel. That's the way I saw it. And now Jeff Wojtka makes a bad... Really, he cleared the zone, but it was a bad play. They came right in, and then he shit the bed immediately. He didn't know what to do after that. He recovered horribly, and I feel like the under 22 aged fan, loves to blame the last guy or they were like, "Well, Wojtka sucks. I knew he sucked. I told you he sucked." Meanwhile, I thought the guy has been a good soldier. I said it in the last show. Him and Emminger have stepped up. They're kind of some unsung heroes. And I still believe that. Sometimes people look bad. Defensemen will look bad. Especially when we had McDonagh against Tampa made horrible plays that cost them the game. That's how I saw that game. I didn't see that game as a trap game. Rangers were frustrated. They weren't able to penetrate into the I didn't see that at all. I thought a wide open game. I thought it was fairly wide open. But there are a lot of people who disagree with me, including you. So I would like to get your take on what happened.
I would agree with you on Gavrik. They gave him absolutely no room to move at all last night. None. He had no open space all night long. I thought Dallas was able to control the tempo for a lot of the night, and Michelle Bachmann, made a couple of good saves. But, it's just, how many times in my lifetime am I going to have to watch a backup goaltender I never heard of shut out the Rangers or hold them to one goal or make 50 saves?
This kid has been good. I mean, I know what you're saying.
As soon as I heard Lettinen was out, I said, oh, man, we got problems. Give me Harry. I'd rather have faced Lettinen last night.
But, Jim, aren't we trying to change? I mean, I don't know if we're doing this, but aren't we trying to change that way of thinking with this team? Are we trying to go with the old, same old Ranger jinxes and this and that?
Hey, you want to talk about jinxes? You want to talk about jinxes? Last night, Pot Fan Sucks chant at the Garden, and what happened within a minute? I was watching the clock because I was waiting for the goal to happen. Within a minute, Soure blasts that shot. The shot heard around the world. They almost killed Lundqvist. You could literally feel the oxygen sucking out of Ranger Nation.
That was unbelievable. I mean, he took that shot, and when they replayed the audio of it, holy cow, the thud that it made. He's got to have a mark there for like a week. It has to be black and blue. That was just... few things stunned me. I was stunned. And you saw how Henrik just was prone and couldn't get up and couldn't get the oxygen, and he just lost all. And thank God the refs picked up on it real early. They must have known that it was Soure had taken that shot. And I was scared, as Jaromir Jagr said when he was acquired by the Rangers. I'm scared. I was scared. He was. That was the first thing. I'll never forget that. Sam Rosen's like, Jaromir, how do you feel about coming to the Rangers? I'm scared. Okay. Now back to you.
But you know what? When Henrik gets hurt, I don't want to just see Rammer running out on the ice. I want it to be like when the helicopter lands in the beginning of MASH and Hawkeye and BJ and all the nurses are running. That's what I want to see. I don't want to just see Jim Ramsey come running off the bench. I want a team of medical professionals checking him out. I want Trapper John. I want Dr. Ben Casey. I want House out there. I want Mark Green. I want them
Marcus
all.
Marcus Welby.
I want Nurse Jackie. I want them all out there.
Nurse Chapel, Bones.
Nurse Chapel, Dr. McCoy.
From the future.
Yeah, Dr. Crusher. We want them all out there.
Everybody. Dr. Quinn, medicine woman.
Dr. Quincy.
Quincy, Nancy. Here's
one for Mandar. Dr. Nancy Cunningham, I want her out there. I want Dr. Shapiro from All in the Family. I want them all.
Dr. Scholes. Dr. Kildare.
Dr. Pepper. Dr. Browns.
Doctor by the Thompson Twins. Doctor.
Everybody but Nurse Ratched.
Dr. Detroit. Oh, my God. I think Mandar is the only one who likes that movie, by the way.
Dr. Teeth. Good one.
Dr. Johnny Beaver.
There's a good one. I want him out there. I want them all. Not Dr. Dre. He's a Dr. Seuss. Good one,
Very
Cutter.
Good.
Very good, Cutter. But you're still getting this.
Shut up, Cutter!
Did we run the gamut? How did I forget Dr. Kilpatient? Doc Bricker.
Dr. Vinnie Bumbatz.
Dr. Remulak. Nice reference, Andrew. I like it. Not Doc Emmerich, Devil's Homer.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is. Congratulations to him. What a shot!
The shot.
Here's your cue. I'll do it.
I know.
If I can find
I'm scrolling. I'm in the middle of scroll.
The shot. Thank you, Doc. Checking in. So you don't see that game as bad as I did, but you like me. You do join me in boiled frustration. You've boiled over. It's a boil on our ass, whatever you want to call it. It's enough with the boil. He needs to see him and Dubinsky, the new Black Aces. There you go. How about that? They can watch from the get him up there, diagram the power play. I've said it before. Give him the Delzato job.
I gotta give props to where they would do. I thought Dallas played they worked. And I hated to see the Rangers lose like that. My stomach was in knots that whole game waiting for that first goal. And then for them to score with 5 minutes left. As soon as they announced the Foxwoods Final Five, by the way. Another freaking ridiculous thing.
What cracks me up with that? When they do that, last night in particular when they did it, it was like 1 minute, it was in a down moment. Something had gone wrong. It seems like, oh, Joe, the Rangers just can't find it. And welcome to the Foxwood 5, Foxwoods Casino. It's like.
Right. It's totally.
1 minute the bell, the bell was tolling, and then it was, Foxwood 5.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Now, there's one thing. I failed in my mission. I forgot who it was. It may have been Linda Hood or somebody else from the underground. And maybe Papa Gallo, I don't know. Sam uttered the... It was Dan, too, Master of Brutality. Sam uttered the legendary phrase about Marion Gaborik losing some hitch in his giddy up.
Oh, I didn't hear that during the game, but now I know why Dan posted it in the face. Oh my God!
I
did he really
it.
Say that? He's lost a little hitch in his giddy up.
Right. And I was joking around. It's like Sam is going to be the new Curly in City Slickers 3. Search for Curly's toupee. Does anybody remember what period? Because I have the DVR of the game, and I'll get the clip, but I couldn't remember when it happened, and I looked through the whole game every time Gaborik was out there, and I couldn't find it. Unless I went back on the replay and edited it out. It was so stupid. But if anybody...
You try to think, but nothing happens.
If anybody can just tell me when that happened, first, second, or third period... Because I would love to have that clip to play. Anywho.
And I got one other thing broadcast related from last night. Last night's broadcast. Stay tuned on MSG immediately following tonight's game for Growing Up Nystrom. We got enough of the Nystrom family last night on the broadcast. We had the interview with Bobby down in, with the glass with Fish Face. Interviewing him, and then we get the interview with Eric. Well, what's next? Eric's piano teacher in third grade, the guy that sells Nystrom his tomatoes. I mean, come on.
Oh, it's strange, Joe, to see him in that Dallas cap. That's right. Huh, he's a proud daddy.
About as strange as it was to see Brian Trottier behind the bench as head coach of the Rangers.
Yeah.
About that, I wonder if he ever uttered that phrase.
He's a proud daddy. What's wrong with these people?
I was waiting for him to say
fatherly juices.
Man, if he ever
fatherly juices,
I want to wet my pants. and Bobby Nystrom, let's face it, this guy, killed us. With overtime goals.
Yeah.
And
he's not the most eloquent of speakers either. I don't know if you really paid attention to him when they interviewed him.
I've met the man in person. I think he didn't have his teeth in or something. He's like, well, you know, this is for something. I've spoken to the man, but yeah, he isn't the most, you know, like you said.
Didn't you talk to him at the draft party? The world famous, world renowned Ranger Crisis 50?
No, he was not. No, at a place where I used to work when I was in my younger days, at a gas station, he would come in there.
Wow.
Smoke Merit. They still make Merit?
Yes, they do. Yep. That's funny. All right. Are you ready for, you want to talk to the captain? It's been a while.
Oh, yes. I want to thank him as well.
What's going on, Captain?
What do you want to thank me for?
Well, I want to thank you for your involvement in the underground. You've been out there getting us people. You've just been a great supporter of the program. That's what I want to thank you for.
You're an asset to this empire, is what he's trying to say.
And I appreciate that. I'm just doing my role as a soldier of the movement. You know,
my buddy.
Occupy Facebook, I guess. I don't know, whatever we're doing these days.
My buddy. You're my buddy.
But, I haven't called in a while.
You got married, and, you know, we understand. We lost Jay of the Dead. He got married. Every once in a while, he shows up with his wife, but, yeah. Right on.
Well, it's funny, though, because there's a good picture which will make its way to the underground at some point of the entire bridal party at my wedding in Rangers jerseys.
Nice.
Wow.
And nothing else?
Well, I wouldn't say nothing else, but they're in Rangers jerseys for a big picture, so it worked out well. But luckily, I didn't get a chance to watch last night's game, thankfully. Usually, when I don't watch, I guess this is what happens. I don't think we need to understand that we're not the same team we've been the past few years. That we're not going to win every game, but we're going to lose a few. And you're going to get that effort every so often, but rather than do it now than in March and April. And when the playoffs come and they're hosting game one, this will just be something that we look back on and laugh. So, hey, remember that game you lost 1-0 to that guy that sounded like Michelle Bachmann? We'll laugh when we're hosting game one of the first round.
That's right. Listen, that guy, it's not like he's a stiff. I mean, I know he's the shortest goalie in the league, but, yes. I know what happens, but it's not like he got lucky. I've gone to games and I've seen guys like Dan Ellis pitch shutouts again with us.
Well, yeah.
You know, like those buffoons, again, you know. It's like, you know, what Jim was saying, you know, about Lettinen, you know. I could see where he's coming from because, you know, you expect Pecorini when you trudge in a snowstorm to go see the Rangers in Nashville. You get there and you watch them get shut out by Dan Ellis. Son of a bitch. I never got over that. 5,000 at the Garden. Snowstorm.
Well, in really good weather, they get about 12 on Long Island.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
All right, so go ahead, Brian.
Well, I have a bit of a comment before I go on my Rangers spiel. It's funny. I was listening to the podcast in my car, and Cutter was on, and I immediately wanted to change the channel, so to speak. But anyway, I think I realized why he calls himself Cutter, because if you're going to be a Maple Leafs fan, clearly you must want to cut yourself constantly.
Really got pleasure out of that. He really did. He got real pleasure.
I did that for Jim. My theory on Dubinsky, it's almost like you kind of look at the team as a whole. He was kind of the odd man out of the top six. So knowing that Tortorella, as a rule, almost plays three lines. I mean, he's been playing the fourth a little more, but not really. I guess the way most teams play. When they took Dubinsky off of the line with Callahan because Richards couldn't fit with Gaborik, Dubinsky was kind of the recipient of the, sorry, buddy, we need to get two lines going. I mean, he's not scoring, but I don't think he's really been given an opportunity to score. I don't think it's now time that we need to find a way. I mean, we're, you know, 30 games into the season, and, you know, he's got, what, one or two goals. I get it, but I think it's not something that we need to say, well, he's out of the core and he's not a part of the team going forward. I really just think that they found two lines that work together really well, which they have not had. And now he's just kind of the odd man out. And, you know, I don't necessarily say it's not his fault because he should be producing a little bit, but I don't think it's – when you get no opportunity to score, you're not going to score. But it kind of is the same thing with Boyle, because last year's team, you know, couldn't score in a brothel with a fistful of hundreds. So they needed a guy like Boyle to net 20 and Prust to net 10 or 15, whatever Prust had last year. This kind of roster with a better top six, you know, there's only one puck. You're not going to get the production from your lower lines when your upper two lines are a little more potent than what they've had. So, I mean, yeah, Boyle's contract looks terrible right now, but again, it's all opportunity. But he should not be on the ice in the last minute of the game, Jim. I'm 150% in agreement.
And he shouldn't be on the power play.
Well, he probably shouldn't be in the NHL, but he should.
You want to put him on the power play? Put him on the first power play in the first period. 5 minutes into the game, put him on the power play. Don't put him on the power play with 4 minutes to go. He's down a goal being shut out at home.
Well, you know what it is.
A hot goaltender. He did hit the post, though.
Now, let me ask you this question. Am I the only one that gets a little bit troubled when I see John Mitchell on the power play? And it's nothing against John Mitchell at all.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, you've been on the team for about 7 games. You're getting power play time.
I understand the Tortorella reward system, the wacky reward system, but I don't want John Mitchell on my power play. I don't even have to say I like John Mitchell to say that. That's how – I don't want John Mitchell on our power play. That's it.
Anisimov.
Anisimov I want, but not John Mitchell. Let me ask you this, Captain. Young Timmy T was on this program, made his debut calling in, and he made I don't know if you listened to the show, but he made an assumption that perhaps Brandon Dubinsky is not handling the fact that he was left out of the captaincy group, the both assistant and being named captain, and that's perhaps not handling that well. Do you think that has anything to do with it?
Well, fix my memory. Was he an assistant last year, or an alternate last year?
I think he was. Wasn't he?
I don't think
he
was.
Stahl?
I don't think so.
Stahl, Callahan, and Drury, yeah. So it was.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
He wasn't in the captaincy last year, and he did just fine. And everybody kind of knew that even though the C was a number 23, it was a very hollow C, that, you know, A was Latin for captain for Callahan. So I don't necessarily know. Yeah, I don't necessarily know that's what it is. Do I think maybe part of it's the contract and he's pressing? Yeah, I do. But, again, if you're playing on the lower two lines for this team, you're just not going to play the minutes that you need to get yourself out of a slump. Frankly, I would like to see him back on the Richards and Callahan line for like 3 games in a row and see what happens. That's not going to happen. But, you know.
Yeah, see, Mandel brings a point that I was going to say. For the first 20 games, he played on the first two lines. He played himself off those lines.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody...
He's in that mess because he put himself into that mess.
That's part of it, but also as part of it was that, for whatever reason, they tried a combination of Fedotenko, Callahan, and Richards, and it worked. I mean, let's put it this way. If Richards is on the number one line with Gavrik, I don't necessarily think that the second line would be Fedotenko, Callahan, and either Stepan or Anisimov. Because I still think you'd have the Callahan, Dubinsky, Anisimov line anyway. But it's because that fit didn't work, which it's amazing. The Rangers go get all-world right wingers, and then can't find a center ever. It's the second, about the second time they've gone and acquired an all-world right winger that can score, but nobody can play center with him. That will bother me for months, but whatever. They have two scoring lines, and it's great. I think Dubinsky is just the, you know, the odd man out. I don't think his career is going to go stretch. Straka, Nylander.
There you go. Oh, by the way, but, Scott, we were talking about Nystrom before, Eric, and late in the game, he had a breakaway.
If
he'd have scored, talk about cutting yourself. Yeah, after bitching about him all night on Twitter, then if he'd have scored, because at the time it was still nothing. If he'd have scored on that breakaway, and that would have been forget it. I might have weeped openly on the show tonight.
and another thing. Let me just say, you're talking about the broadcast. I just got triggered. I think the Zoloft kicked in.
It was the frying pan.
Ow. Stop with the Mark Messier gushing. I'm sick of him. Don't show me him. I don't care if he's playing tiddlywinks with the New York Fire Department that day. Oh, look at him. I wonder if he's going to run. Oh, he's training. I'm sick of it. Get out. Don't you have some place to be?
You have a hooker to bang?
Didn't he leave the Rangers for Vancouver? The God, they gush over him. Again, 1994, I would have laid with him. This is 2011.
You would have spooned.
I would have spooned with the man. But I've had enough.
You would have even
reversed.
I have had enough.
What'd you say?
I said you would have even reverse spooned.
I would have reverse spooned on that man. But I don't care. Oh, Sam, what a wonderful bowel movement he had today. He raised $5,000 from his shit. I'm sick and tired of it. What a wonderful man. Only Gretzky has more goals. Shut up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
So Eddie, how do you feel about Messier?
The ego.
What are the odds that HBO finds us during the viewing party, and we get on 24/7.
0.0.
I mean, why don't we make? We should make a phone call. Tell them that. Yeah.
The rabid Ranger fans even gather at New York bars to watch away games. And who's this ding-a-ling? And they point to me. Yeah, I love the Rangers.
Jack just mentioned this. I'm really looking forward to watching this tonight. I think you're gonna hear the F word 100 times every. It's just Tortorella's gonna go nuts. I really want to see Tortorella behind.
I predict, my friends. That watching this, we will all have a newfound respect for John Tortorella. We are going to love him. That's my prediction. Now, this is the same man who predicted that Pat Benatar would be a one-hit wonder. So we don't know if it's going to come true. And for you younger people who don't know who Pat Benatar is, it's not a guy, it's a chick.
It is
going to
be interesting.
All right, Brian, take your leave of me. You bore me. Let's go. Move this show along.
Are we going to see you at the viewing party?
I will be there. All
right.
I will absolutely be there. I will not miss.
You've heard about the change of venue, right? It was on Twitter. It was on CNN. It was on Channel 11.
But it wasn't on 24/7.
It will be. We had Chuck Scarborough announce it on Live at 5. I don't even know if that show's still on TV.
On Slattery?
On Slattery.
That's Slattery's Pub?
Slattery's Midtown Pub.
There was a change of venue as the underground people decided they were too good for where they were going.
Right here.
Right there.
Honestly.
Excellent.
Did you hear Colin Cosell on the show the other night?
I did. I drive an hour back and forth to work now.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. But the podcast is ridiculously helpful on those long rides. I thank you both more than you could know.
Well, yeah, I mean, with an hour back and forth, we probably fit nicely into your drive.
Exactly right.
Listen, we're here
exactly
to
right.
That's basically it. Evolution NBA said our show is very calming. I don't know if that's
a compliment.
Is that an insult? I say, is that a backhanded?
I don't know. What the fuck you people do?
He said the show is common.
Calming.
Like relaxing.
Like aromatherapy or something.
Calming. Oh yes, it's really calming to have Coast to call and tell me what his Garden of Dreams is. Yeah, it was calming.
I had to explain that to Jim off the air.
Thanks.
All right,
Cap. Good
to talk to you, buddy.
All right, take care, guys.
Take it easy.
Take care, Captain.
See ya.
Bye. You know, I didn't mention it earlier, but just a few minutes, we should have Nick Perry coming up with a little Connecticut Whale watching, and we can get the skinny on what's going on with Erickson. He was promoted to the big club.
Yes.
See what's going on with Zuccarello. So why don't we take a fast phone call? 203-246. You're on Blue Shirt Underground. Who's this?
It's your friend Colin Cosell.
Oh, hey.
Oh, our friend.
Hey. What's going on? I didn't recognize your number.
I've got to know who goofed.
You people do.
Who goofed?
Who goofed? Your show is far from ordinary. I've been listening from the get-go, and you've instantly got a fan out of me.
Wow.
Well, I told you when I emailed you this show was different.
Yes, it's definitely different, slightly irreverent, but terribly enjoyable and very informative. I too am I'm on board with the anti Boyle, Susan Boyle, as I've started to call him. a singing Scottish retard. That's basically the equivalent of him now. So,
I don't know where to go from that.
I was saying in the chat room, it was a tough loss last night, obviously, and you don't want to get shut out by Michelle Bachmann, but you know what, this Rangers formula that's different, the feel of this team that's different than, say, the past 5-6 years is, you know, they'll lose two in a row, and then all of a sudden they'll win a whole bunch in a row. And as long as they keep doing that, I'm going to be very content with how this Rangers team is playing.
Well, I'd be all right with that too, because then that would mean that they'd lose again tomorrow, but then they'd start winning on Saturday, and I'll be at the game on Saturday, so I'll be okay with that.
I'm going to go ahead, and I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but I will guarantee you a victory, much like that guy you despise.
We don't despise him. It's just enough.
Despise it, but MSG hype machine over there. I mean, I know with him. I mean, and what gets me, Colin, is that the present organization, under Glenn Taylor, has nothing to do with 1994.
Yeah,
but they keep shoving it down our throats.
Well, we're just trying to relive the glory days because, I mean, it's hard to believe that it's been 17 and a half years since that happened, since, you know, the good old days of Mark Messier and that, one of the ugliest pro athletes ever. But, you know, I do miss the days of him scoring a goal and all of a sudden it's just his pinched face and nothing but gigantic teeth. And that's that smile of his. You could probably pry a couple of his teeth, whichever ones are real, and use a couple of them as a drive-in movie theater screen. Those things are huge.
Yeah. I love Mark Messier as a player. I just can't stand him after his career. That's it.
That's fair.
I mean, it's too much.
What about Braves? I mean, we get an awful lot of Graves, too.
Yeah, but, you know, Graves is just like, Graves ain't running marathons. He's not, you know.
They don't treat Adam Graves like he's the only guy who ever accomplished anything in a Ranger uniform.
Right. And Adam Graves is so nice. I mean, he's like, you know.
Adam Graves is a very genuine person. I think Mark Messier is one of the biggest phonies in sports.
Wow. All right, that's
fair. I think so, too. We've heard at least a lot of reports from callers over the years who've met him and said that he's been a total dick. So I don't know if that's, you know.
I met him a couple times, and he was perfectly nice and courteous and everything, but it's probably because I was with my grandfather at the time, and he didn't know what to do otherwise.
Now, who is this bald gentleman?
So you play curling, is it? It's hockey, Poppins. They're playing hockey. Yes, the second greatest sport on ice.
Done. Grandson, this is Yul Brynner. I can't believe I'm being introduced by you to the great Yul Brynner.
Beezer, is he still playing? No, Pop, he was traded. Good old days.
So,
I'll let you guys get back to your regularly scheduled programming, and I'm very, very excited for you guys to come join us when you wrap up over there, because my co-host is an Edmonton Oilers fan. And we should start a little debate on where Mark Messier should be more heralded, in Edmonton or New York.
Oh, why don't we just do 15 minutes on Yari Curry? Or Anson Carter.
All right, so I see this is a topic we're going to bypass. I will make a note of it.
Anson Carter.
You guys are great, though. Thanks for letting me call in for a minute. And I'll talk to you guys in about an hour or so.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Colin.
Take care.
All right. Bye. It's pretty funny. We're going to give him like 10 minutes every show, and we'll just call it No Poppy, because he always tells these co-sell stories, and it's
No Poppy.
No Poppy. Come, what was the one he had the other night? Come watch this one-armed pitcher throw a no-hitter.
Who is nope. this?
Is it
Come
Pete?
In. He's in the pool. Yeah. Wasily St. Anson Carter got us Yager. No, our money got us Yager. Come on, let's not try to say that Washington was in a salary dump when they got Yager. Anson Carter actually has a McFarlane figure in a Ranger uniform. You know those figures I collect?
Do you have one?
No, come on.
I'm just asking.
20 games? Well, 40 games? Well,
I'm just asking. I didn't know if, you know, you might have
one. If
it completed a set, you know, or something like that.
I'm sorry I got so defensive about that. I just realized it. Oh, come on.
Come on. You know, maybe it completed the set. You know, maybe it's... never mind. I better not. So let's welcome back to the program, making his second appearance from the SNY New York Rangers blog, Nick Perry. Nick covers the Connecticut Whale for SNY. Nick, Jim and Eddie with you. Thanks for coming back. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Good, Nick.
Doing good.
Glad to have you back. What are we calling this segment? The Whale Watch? Whale Watching?
Yeah. Whale Watching? Whale Whispering? I don't know. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, Whale Watch. Whale Watch sounds nice.
Whale Watch. Yeah. All right. So... Welcome to Whale Watch.
What an intro.
All right, first question right off the bat. Let's get to it. Tim Erickson was promoted today. How's he been doing in Connecticut?
Terrific. I think the call-up was well-deserved. He's probably been the Whale's top defenseman since he began playing for them. And, you know, I think he probably should have been recalled earlier by the Rangers, but of course he ran into a little bit of an injury problem 2 weeks ago. He missed 4 games, and then he came back, and he jumped right back on the first defensive pairing, and in the past 4 or 5 games, he's been the best, possibly the best, probably the best player on the entire team. In the past 3 games before he was recalled, he had 2 assists in each of them, so... You know, he's doing well, and I think he should give the Rangers some life on defense as long as he plays. And I think it was definitely the right call by Tortorella and the rest of the team to finally bring him up and give him a second chance.
Now, what kind of numbers does he have in Connecticut?
He had a goal and he had 11 assists in just 13 games.
Nice.
So most of them came on the power play. He was just the Whale power play for a few games, went 8 for 15, and that was mostly in part of his just fantastic play at the point. I think, you know, maybe the Rangers should try him there if they're having some problems on the power play, because he looked fantastic on the point for the Whale.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, I really thought he showed a lot of poise while he was up here earlier, especially when he returned to Calgary and he got a lot of boos and didn't fold under pressure. He's got a lot of poise. I think he's got to improve on his strength along the boards. But that'll come. I mean, that'll come with NHL play, and guy played in the Swedish Elite League, the big, you know, the ice surface now and the whole thing, you know. We see, you know, it gone. So I think it was a good call up. There were some Ranger fans that were who kind of were lobbying for Brendan Bell. I wasn't up with that at all. But could there be a case be made for Brendan Bell over Tim Erickson, or do you think that Erickson was the right deal?
Well, aside from Erickson, the second best, I guess, two-way defenseman for the Whale has been Brendan Bell, but I definitely think Erickson was the right choice. I had to give him a second chance. He's just too good for the AHL not to give him a second chance. And like you said, his poise, that's probably his greatest attribute. He's just so patient with the puck, and that's something that the Whale coaches and other Whale players have just, you know, that's why they love him. He's just so patient with the puck, and he knows what to do with the puck. He's always making the right decisions. Definitely the right choice to choose him over Bell, although I would not be surprised if Brendan Bell maybe got a recall sometime during the season. You know, if injury problems continue to hurt the Rangers' blue line, I could see Brendan Bell also getting a recall. But for now, Erickson, definitely the right decision.
Cool.
Okay. Now, I was going to say, maybe I'll pose this to both of you guys. Now, because Amy in the chat room brought it up, a lot of people felt this call-up was in response to Jeff Wojtka not playing so well. He didn't play all that badly in that game. He made a costly mistake at the end that cost him a game, helped him cost him the game. I think this is a response to the Michael Sauer injury more than anything. I think that Michael Sauer is now going, it's going to be a longer thing, and they may have given Wojtka's, you know, may give him a rest on some nights, and that's why they're going to bring Erickson in, possibly to take the minutes that Sauer was playing, or at least move somebody up and Erickson move, you know, into the fifth or sixth row. What do you guys think?
Sounds about right, because he can play a lot of minutes, and when he played more minutes with the Whale, he was better. He just looked better when he kept playing. I think it was said when the Rangers first acquired him that one of his strengths is just his endurance and his ability to play and log big minutes every single game. I think he could definitely jump into the Rangers top four and take Michael Sauer's spot. I think he is, you know, not a similar player to Sauer. Sauer's more physical, but Erickson definitely has the potential in the future to become a top four defenseman. I'll see why they shouldn't just give him those minutes now and see what he can do. I think it's definitely a possibility and definitely something that they should try.
What I was going to say about Wojtka is, you know, you're talking about a guy who's never played a full season in the NHL. And I just think, you know, I think he's a guy you plug in for a few games, but when he plays 10, 15 games, probably starts to, you know, I think he probably make a case that he wore out a little bit, gets exposed a little bit. And why not give Erickson a shot? I think that's part of it. But I think it's also in part to Sauer, who was put on the IR today. So, you know, who knows when he's coming back. Players are going down with concussions all over the place.
Yeah.
Skinner.
And I have
and who was the other one? Somebody.
Pickenin.
Pickenin, that's who it was. Thank you.
And I have to say, with these concussions, you know, Crosby went through it all last year and this year, and I see them. You know, they happen all around the league. But until it starts happening to your team, you really get to feel the brunt of how bad this is, an epidemic, and how costly it is. I mean, and how easily it can happen. I mean, every time he spills into the boards, I'm going, you know, McDonough ran into the board, you know, he slid into the base of the boards yesterday, and I'm going, oh, no. Now, Micheletti, you know, he thought it, again, we always say this, it looked like it was, there's a Bruder film, according to him. Oh, McDonough's down! Oh, God! You know, but I'm watching the game, and I'm like, is this going to be another concussion? I mean, because now the Crosby thing scares me. Because here's a guy, he came back after a year basically being off, and, you know, he runs into his own player, and it's game on again with the concussion. So I don't know how they're going to rectify it. I really don't. But they can put pillows on the side of their heads.
They can wear those big inflatable helmets.
So I digress as usual, going into the concussion. Now, last time you were here, I asked you mistakenly about Thomas Kondratyuk. Mm-hmm. And I got a lot of flack, let me tell you. Because people, when I mess up, everybody wants to get on me, and listen, I'll take it.
You're a big star.
As long as they're...
You got a target on you.
As long as it's about me, I don't care if it's good or bad. I'm here to generate heat, ladies and gentlemen. Who I had meant to ask about, and this is truthfully, was Pavel Valentenko.
Mm-hmm.
Pavel was a guy that I think a lot of Ranger fans had penciled in to already be on this squad, to be up with the big team. Tell me what's going on with him.
Well, he did not have a very impressive training camp in preseason. When the season first started, he was injured. I think it was a shoulder injury that kept him out for about the first four or five games. And when he returned, he didn't look like he cared. He wasn't really playing, you know, very well. And then the Whales started to get a few injuries on defense. And Valentino got an opportunity to play in a top four situation. And he got more time. So he was sometimes playing with Erickson. And in recent games, for about probably the past 10 games, Valentino has actually been one of the better defensemen. And he is someone who I get asked that a lot. You know, can he come up to the Rangers? Will he get a recall? I'm not sure if the Rangers will actually recall him at this point, but he is someone who is improving. He is playing much better. The training camp is behind him. Preseason is behind him with the Rangers. And now he's just, you know, he's getting down to his game, and he's playing the game that the coaches liked from last season. He's blocking shots. He's playing very physically. There is the point where he had two goals in two games. He's back to shooting more, which is something that the Whale need. He's not getting too much power play time, although when he does get to play on the power play, he's moving the puck. He's shooting on that. He's got a great slap shot. But he is improving his play. He has improved from the sloppy preseason that he had.
Okay. We got two questions from the chat room. Vince wants to know about the status of one Chad Kolarik.
All right,
we know
all right.
Here. What's going on?
Yeah, Kolarik, he has the latest that was updated on him is that he will return skating in January, but he probably will not return to the team to play until probably late March, mid-March. He's probably not going to be back to playing for at least another 2 or 3 months. It was a really bad injury. He's supposed to pretty much miss the rest of the season, which is a possibility, but
wow.
It is more likely that he'll come back right around playoff time for the Whale, and then it'll go from there.
Okay, we got another question from the great Dan, Mr. Cartier. He wants to know about Andreas Sturrason, former Nashville Predator, correct?
Yes, Thurston, he was acquired for Brody DuPont in July. He you know, he played for, I think it was Milwaukee, the Nashville's AHL team for a couple of years. He was a 15-goal scorer for them. He, you know, he's a big guy. He hasn't really done too much that would warrant a recall from the Rangers. He hasn't really shown anything that would say, you know, he belongs in the NHL. He's played mostly in the bottom six. He plays with Ryan Bourque sometimes. He is a physical player. He uses his body. And one thing that he does a lot is shoot. He's like third or fourth on the team in shots. But he doesn't really score. He's struggling in the scoring department. He does get some power play time, but he's not really clicking right now. He's not doing, you know, he's not scoring. His role has pretty much changed with the Whale to a, you know, solid bottom six player who's going to throw his body around and create some energy.
Okay.
I want to ask about what's going on with Zuccarello?
Yeah, the latest on Zuccarello, it's a lower body injury. That's the most that we've been told. And the Whale have worked with him throughout the week to hopefully progress and have him play this weekend. The Whale play on Friday and Saturday. They hope to have him back by then. It's not likely. If he's not back this week, he'll probably take the whole next week as well and the Christmas vacation, and then probably return right after that when we'll have three games in a week. But all I know is that it's a lower body injury, and he's worked all week to try and come back this weekend.
Okay.
I mean, how do you guys feel? Do you think he is going to be ever make this team? I mean, I see him making it in the NHL with somebody, but can you – oh, I just saw this on the AHL webpage. Tomorrow night we play the Blues, right? Guess
yep.
Who's been recalled by the Blues?
Evgeny Grachev.
Evgeny Grachev.
Yeah.
The original Russian rifleman. Okay, I'm sorry.
He'll score four goals tomorrow night.
Oh, no way. He hasn't scored four goals in 50 games yet. Well, not yet. Not 50. My last question on a player note is Ryan Bourque. I got to tell you, I look at the stats. I'm not impressed. I loved Ryan in the preseason in Traverse City. What's going on with Ryan Bourque? Last time we talked to you, he was relegated to third line duty. Is he seeing more minutes? And why is he on the third line?
Well, he with Carl Hagelin and John Mitchell being recalled, he has been switched second line, third line. He's been in the middle like last time. The reason he's on third line, they're not going to rely on him for goals. They're not relying on him for scoring. They're relying on him to, you know, use his body because he's very physical. For a smaller player, he's a very physical player. He loves to hit. He has speed to create plays. But really what they want from him is, you know, that solid two-way play that he has where he can back check, break up plays, throw the hard hits, create energy, and that's really what he's done. He struggled, you know, for a little bit. He returned from an injury. He struggled for a little bit, but I don't know what it was. I'm pretty sure he played his brother Chris Bourque a couple of weeks ago, and since that game, he's just played outstanding hockey. Not in a scoring sense, but in just he's one of the only players on the team who's every game, every shift, going out and hitting as many players as he can to create energy and to spark his team. It's going to take a couple of years for him to really develop into someone who can play for the Rangers, but I think, you know, patience has to be practiced with Ryan Bourque because he can become a very, very good NHL player for the New York Rangers.
I think so. I think he shows a lot of quality. You said it in describing him, of a Ryan Callahan type of guy. A guy who's
yeah.
just going to go out and he's not a big guy, but he's going to go out and he's going to, you know, he plays with a lot of heart, a lot of emotion, And, you know, hopefully he can get the minutes and get the scoring touch and we can see him up here. I think he has a better chance of a call-up this year than Zuccarello does. Because he's the kind of guy
yeah.
you can throw in. He's the guy yeah. you can throw in the fourth line. You know? So how are the Whale doing this year overall? I haven't followed them at all this year.
Right now they're in first place in their division, the Northeast Division, and they are third place in the conference. So
first place.
They are playing well. Yeah.
Nice.
How do you rate Ken Janander as a coach?
He's probably one of the better AHL coaches out there. I think he's a fantastic coach. He really is. You saw it when he coached the Traverse City team. He's perfect for this type of job. He's perfect for developing players. He's perfect fit with the Rangers and perfect fit with the Whale. Definitely a great coach.
Okay.
Now, is he pretty much running the same style as John Tortorella?
Yes.
They're playing the same style of hockey?
Everything, you know, as far as the player standpoint goes, his relationship with the players, he leaves everything to the players. You know, it's up to them to go out and perform and play well and get a win. You know, he does practice the same styles. I think it's uniform throughout the whole organization how the Rangers want their prospects to develop and how they want them to play. It's very similar. And it's a great coaching staff with Jernander and then J.J. Daniel on defense who has developed so many Rangers. Stauer, Girardi, McDonough, Erickson now. So and then they have Pat Boiler, who's the special teams coach, and he does a great job with the power play and penalty kill as well.
Cool. One more question before we let you go. Anybody, any of the other Ranger prospects, anything notable in the last week or two? Kreider or I saw Christian Thomas got cut from Team Canada.
Yeah, he got cut from Team Canada. A little bit shocking because he has been very, very hot since he returned from that 10-game suspension. I think last time I came on, he was midway through that suspension. But since he's returned, he's had 18 points in 7 games, I think it was. And he's just been very hot, piling on points, scoring game after game. So it was a little bit surprising to see that he was cut from Team Canada. But on a side note, I think JT Miller is a lock for Team USA, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, do you have any indication why Christian Thomas was cut? It's just, I know Canada usually feels like really, you know, they always have a great team. Is it just a numbers game or?
Yeah, I think it has to be because I don't know why he would have been cut. It has to be, you know, there's just so many great players that attended the camp this year. Just so many guys who could have made the team.
Right.
So I don't think Thomas should feel bad at all. He's just going to come back and now he just has to prove that he should have made the team. And I'm sure he'll put on a show when he returns to Oshawa.
All right.
Sounds good.
I love this whale watching segment.
Yeah, this is great. Well, Nick, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, all right?
All right. Thank you guys for having me again.
Anytime.
Okay, Nick. Take care.
All right, Nick. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Take care.
I got to say, Nick was much more composed. He did a great job.
I like his preparation. He comes to play.
I'm asking him.
As they say.
Yes, he brings it.
All right. All right, we're going to try and wrap this up a little bit early tonight. We got Mandar and James on hold. We'll get to both of them. I see Colin is still here. Colin, why don't you post the link for your show in the chat room so people know where to find us at 10 o'clock when we join Icing for Everyone before we all go to watch 24/7. So, Colin, post the link to your show in the chat room for us, and let's bring Mandar's been holding, of course. Mandar, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
I'm going to have to get that as a sound clip. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, gentlemen.
in 3 years now. He says that. Good evening.
Yeah. So what's,
going
on?
Dario, beautiful.
Plus 15, baby.
What's that?
Plus 15.
Oh, well, and that's why we want him. He was drafted to become a plus player. That's what it is.
It's just an added benefit.
Of course. He's all-star quality right now. Whoever the captain of the all-star team, hopefully will pick him first. He's wonderful.
Are you ever going to say you are wrong about Michael Delzato?
Here's a trivia question for you, Eddie. When Michael Delzato shoots the puck, where's the safest place to be?
In the net.
Behind him.
In the net, because he will never hit it.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Answer off.
But anyway, I do not come here to bury Michael Delzato.
It's like Mark Anthony.
I'm here to comment on the relative loveliness of our resident number 17, who people say, but he's doing so many other things so well.
The LTs? The little
things? Oh, he's doing everything else so well.
I didn't say that. I hope you're not pointing that at me.
No.
That's what she said.
I'm just talking about anybody who makes a Dubinsky apologist at this point.
Oh.
Jim,
I don't
think there's
the
many
stats
of them out there.
Where are the stats for him now? Where are the stats for Dubinsky's goals, just like you did for Boyle's?
Oh, you want? All right, I can find it. Like I said,
You know what? There's validity with what you're saying there, but I think it's different because you have the expectation of Brian Boyle not to score more than maybe 5 to 10 goals in a year. Yeah, he got 20 last year, but I don't think really, other than those who were really, you know, dreaming that thought he would repeat it, they pencil him in for a fourth line minutes penalty killer, scores 5 to 10 goals. So to say you're kind of surprised that his two-goal output isn't that big a deal, although
not even that, he just stinks.
Sometimes the issue with Ranger coach is going back to when what was that great line that Rennie used to have out there with 2 minutes to go down by one? Wasn't it any line
Bet, Holweg?
Yeah, exactly, right. And they were out there with a minute and a half to go. So,
was it a playoff game that they were out?
Guys are out there. But as far as Dubinsky goes,
Jed Ortmeier.
There has been little reason to put him with higher skilled players to get more potential goals because he's just not doing anything to warrant that. People are saying, don't bench him because how's he going to get better? But he played himself there. And if you have had a slump and you get your ice time diminished, what are your two options as that player? All right, in the 6 or 7 minutes I get a night, I better be busting my ass. I better be creating something in the ice. I better not just blend into the sideboards and be soft on the puck. And that's what he's chosen to do. And I refuse to believe anybody who says, well, he's upset he didn't get the assistant captain or the captain. I refuse, because I give him a little bit of credit. I refuse to believe that a guy carry a one-goal slump into almost a third of the way in the season because he didn't get an assistant captain.
It's a bunch of garbage.
Thank you.
How many games into the season are we?
We are, what are they, 17-7-4, so that's 28 games in.
29, according to Hockey Reference. All right, I have your number. I have your numbers for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Wait, don't give it yet.
All right.
Something, this is coming right over the waiver wire right now.
Uh-oh.
Rangers have acquired This is unbelievable. I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. I can't even say it. I can't. Daniel Carcillo is a Ranger.
What?
So he got Avery Jr. For who?
It doesn't say.
You got to be.
I'm only hosing you. We didn't get Daniel Carcillo.
Who did we get?
No, we didn't get anybody.
Richard Bachman? All right. Are you ready?
Wait, wait, hold on. Hold on.
What now? Oh. All right. We'll use the same frame that I put Boyle in, okay? Oddly enough, whereas Boyle hit his 20th goal in his 63rd game, Dubinsky did it in his 64th game last year.
Ah.
Since then, in 47 games, and that includes the playoffs,
okay,
Brandon Dubinsky has 7 goals and 16 assists.
All right, so, now, I don't know if you can get this. Out of those 7 goals, how many had a goaltender in there?
I don't know if that's going to let me see.
But
hold
you
on.
Can at least one, if not more.
Well, he had 7 last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's safe to assume at least one or two of them were empty netters, right? It doesn't I mean, I'm sure I could find it. But
he had 5 goals last year.
Oh, okay. It was 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, let me see. Let me just – it's not – without going through each individual game that he scored and to look at the box scores, I could find that for you, but we don't have that.
All right, yeah, but I think it's safe to say that there might have been a couple or whatever, but your expectation of Brandon Dubinsky has got to be higher than your expectation of Brian Boyle. Now, I agree with you. I think Brian Boyle needs to sit a game or two out, and that'll be easier when Rupp gets healthy enough to be back in the lineup. Although he does seem to be a favorite of Torts, but who knows? You know, and that's the thing. The expectation out of Brian Boyle isn't 20 goals. You got to hold him to the standard that you believe that he's capable of. Now, if you believe Brandon Dubinsky should be at least a 20 goal scorer during a year, and unlike some people who were predicting 30, who will go nameless in the chat room, but you know who you are. It's got to be more than just a slump. You know, all right, you don't score goals, but create something out there. Do something with your ice time. You know, he's a player that can be noticeable without scoring goals. He's a guy that can rush the puck up there. I saw a play last night. He was coming down the left side. I want to say it was in the first period, and it might have even been an odd man rush. His head, from the time he hit the blue line, was turned towards the middle of the – he wasn't even looking at the net. He was looking to dish it off. He has zero confidence. Now, if you're going to say he needs to get confidence up by playing more, it just means more time about looking to the center of the ice or looking behind him so he doesn't have to have the puck. And Brandon Dubinsky's strongest game is when he's on the puck. And so, yeah, he kills penalties. So does Boyle. He plays the power play. Unfortunately, so does Boyle. I mean, and they're getting the same results out of both of these guys. But one guy you kind of expect that out of, and one guy you don't. And that's why it's a much bigger travesty for what's going on with Brandon Dubinsky, who deserves to be in that press box just as much. I don't want to hear the garbage. He's got assists. He's doing other things. He's not doing other things. That's an excuse. It's a mask. Right now, Brandon Prust is more important to the Rangers than Dubinsky is. Right now. And it shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is right now.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's a lot of Ranger apologists out there for the defense. I think we have some in the chat room, but predominantly people have been on board with and I really think that Brandon, although he's not worth the $4.2 million this year, will somehow down the line come up big for the New York Rangers. And I think one of the reasons why will be this.
I was sensing a little displeasure with this song in the chat room, and I'm not going to stand for it.
Why? I didn't see anybody. Everybody kind of liked it.
Jemez and Gretz call this retarded?
No, he meant that in a good way.
Oh, and Tom Ertz hit the mute button?
And it's easing. All right.
Again, this
show is for me, you, Mandar, and about a handful of people out there.
Play it again.
You give a shit less if you don't like it. If you love it, I love you, you sons of bitches.
Play it again.
Goddamn underground, I love you. So, what else is going on, Robin?
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
Is James around?
James, yes. James is on hold. You want to bring James in?
Yeah, let's bring James in and end this debacle.
We have somebody else is on hold as well. I don't know who it is.
Bring them on.
Bring them both on? All right. James is with us. James, how are you? And
I'm fine, guys. How you doing?
Good. 917-821, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Tom Dwyer. Hi, guys.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Well, let's get to Tom first.
Sorry about the screw-up.
No, it's all right, Tom. Thanks for hooking us up with John. I think the place is going to be great for us.
It's really going to be great. You'll have the whole place yourself, and you won't have a bunch of fish people throwing up all over the place, you know?
Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, fish fans are kind of like, are they like Grateful Dead fans? Like they're out making grilled cheese sandwiches for $1 and playing with the sticks and all that crap?
Yep, if you put a bowl of water out for their dogs, they'll love to drink out of the bowl of water.
I gotta tell you, Jim, I can't divulge these. I had a chance to talk to Tom yesterday, and he's got some great stories.
Well, you can't go there, Eddie, but you promised.
I know, I can't go there. I'm just going to tease the audience with it. They are fantastic stories. I mean, Mandar, you would love him. James, you would love him because they're about the, you know, a lot of the players in the 80s, Rangers in the 80s, referees in the 80s.
We know a lot about that.
That frequented his bar. I mean, they were mainstays there. But we'll save that for a whole Tom Dwyer, This Is Your Life night.
Exciting.
And they were going to run for office. We'll tell you that much.
So,
Jim, when are you coming in?
I leave here next Wednesday. I should be in Pennsylvania Friday night.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, a week from right now, I will be on my way.
Good, great.
In the family truckster.
Yeah, Ron Slattery, the Slattery family, is really a wonderful group of guys.
Yeah, he was a real nice guy on the phone, so.
He'll do a great job. That I can guarantee.
Well, Tom, we thank you for the hookup, man. That was a solid thing for us. So.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, enjoy listening to the program, guys. You do a great job.
Thanks, Tom.
Except,
take care.
Jim's always hogging the show. What's going on with that?
I don't know. He continually hogs the show.
I see how it is. You two talking, swapping stories. Jim hogs the show. See how it is. No wonder why
you brought it up.
Man.
I am not going to Mad Dog Radio.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Okay, guys.
All right, bye.
Take care, Tom.
Oh, sure, you get on here and talk about, oh, my God, I respect you more than anybody, and then you're talking to Tom Dwyer, and, oh, he hogs the show.
He brought it up. No, he's got some good stories. I can't tell him on the air, but I'm sworn to secrecy, but.
Oh, they must be good ones.
Oh, they're good. They're good. We're going to have to get a conference call, all four of us, one time. And that's what this show turns into after we go into podcast, but. Oh, Mark, 24/7 start already or not?
No, we got about 20 minutes.
Oh, I just got Marcy is tweeting 24/7. How has she seen it before anybody? So anyway, James, I want to say, first of all, James, welcome to the program.
Thank you, buddy.
I know you emailed me or messaged me on Facebook about how to switch videos. I'm very bad at answering stuff. But I will get back.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all, man. Don't worry about it. I know you're busy. It's holiday time. There's so much stuff going on. You guys are doing like two shows a week and other stuff. So no problem, man. I understand.
Okay. Now, James, what's your take? What did you call in to talk about? I'm interested. I'm all ears.
You're all ears.
Jim is not speaking now.
I'm sorry.
Jim is all like. Jim is not speaking now. He's trying to be all low key now.
I'm just listening.
Now, come on, Jim. You could get involved in this.
No,
you're
right.
Allowed to.
I don't want.
I mean, it's only your show. I mean, you know.
Your show.
Oh my!
You
God.
Only put the whole damn thing together. I mean, you know, right? You and Eddie there. So come on. To be honest, guys, I've actually missed the last couple of games. You know, just a lot of stuff going on. You know, with me and family stuff, and you know, a lot of things happening. But you know, I catch the replays, and I fall asleep because they're late. So I'm trying to catch as much as I can. But I was listening to the whole thing Mandar was saying, and you know, and I am concerned with Dubinsky too, man. I mean, this guy, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we all thought he was a lock for at least 20 goals. You know, and you know the way he's playing. I mean, you know. Nothing's working for him. And he's getting the ice time. I mean, you know, something got to be done. I mean, like they were saying, sit him out a couple games, do something. I mean, he has to get his confidence back. Like you said, you know, he's looking to dump the puck. He's looking to dish it off every chance he gets. He doesn't want to shoot. So, what do you know what I mean? You got to do something about that.
Well, let me ask you three guys this question. We're all, you know, in our 40s or above. And what... Do you guys think that it's about time to cut loose of the old Ranger jinxes and the negative thinking that surrounds this team with this team? Is it too early to do that? Or are you a believer in these core of young players, a young team which we haven't seen probably in our lifetimes as adults for sure? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't associate this time with any other, you know, besides what's going on right now. So, you know, these guys, I mean, they're doing a good job. I mean, you know, we're sitting pretty good. Okay, we screwed up the other night. That's the one thing that kills me. I hate when you lose games you think are a lock to win, especially at home, you know. You know, I mean, like I say, you know, it happens. What are you going to do? But as for any negativity, I don't think there should be any negativity right now. It's still, I mean, no, it's not early. It's kind of early still. I mean, we, you know, we're just like a quarter of the way in. So, you know, well, maybe a little more, but, I think it's time to just, you know, you have to believe in these guys, and hopefully the guys who, you know, need to step it up, like a Dubinsky and Boyle. I mean, that guy fell off the face of the earth, too. I mean, he played well last year, and this year, all of a sudden, nothing either. I mean, just put them both up in the boxes. And I love listening to the gentleman you had on about the Hartford team, you know, and the younger guys we have. And, hey, these guys could step in, you know, maybe next year, the year after. So we have a good young team with more to come. So I feel good about that.
Okay. Yeah, so that's the way I'm headed towards. Jim?
Yes. I wanted to ask you guys a question, you game collectors, because James actually got me thinking about this. You posted a thing in the Facebook group last week about what your first game was, and I looked it up. My first game was Sunday, October 30th, 1977. Pretty sure this was it, against the Kings, a 5-3 loss. And even though they lost, if either one of you guys would happen to have that game, I'd love to get a copy of it.
I wish it was around, man. There were so few games in the 70s. You know,
really?
Anything. Yeah, very, very little. Very little. This is the game I went to. My first game was in 1980, and that one ain't even around. I thought I had it one time. Some guy says, I have a Rangers-Chicago game from December of 1980, and I thought that was it. I went on the 7th. It was a Sunday night, and we beat Chicago 5-4. And then I ended up getting it, and it was a 2-1 loss the following week on the 14th. So, you know, of course, I was disappointed, but, you know, I was hoping that game would be available, but it's not. I mean, they weren't that many people keeping games around, you know, back then, because, you know, those VHS tapes were expensive back then. So, you know, a lot of times we just, you know, tape over them. And me, in Brooklyn, where I lived, we didn't have no cable. Even when I left there, there was no cable. So I only used to get to see the away games. Only home games I would see is when I went to my cousins in Jersey, or I went to Manhattan to a bar, or to some friends that had an apartment over there. You know, I'd go see some games, but or go to the game itself. That's about it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes there's some radio, you know, there's some old radio out there. We could look around for it and stuff, you know. Some collectors used to put, you know, regular cassette thing right by the radio, hit record, and they have it. I mean, there's old baseball that's coming out, a lot of old baseball, some football, but hockey, there's a lot of hockey out there too, so I'll check around for you.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem, man.
Now that Jim has completely derailed my question, Mando, how do you feel about the question?
I think you got...
Mando, didn't you want to ask for a tape of a game?
The only way to answer that, I think, is to qualify by how long you've been a fan. Now, if you're a recent fan, you really have no frame of reference, nor do you really should have the right to say same old anything. If you're just 20 years old, if you're under the age, and I'm sorry if it sounds brutal, but if you're under the age of 35, you have no frame of reference to say same old Rangers, because it all goes in cycles, you see. Those who watched the Rangers in the mid-60s knew the downturn, then Emil Francis and the late 60s, early to mid 70s came along, and it was the upturn, so your expectations went up. Then it was the downturn in the mid 70s, then the upturn in the mid 80s to about the early 90s, and then you had the downturn. So if you're always, if you're a veteran Ranger fan, going to say same old because you've seen it before. When you've got one championship in 71 years, you will say same old Rangers when the clouds start. Only one time did I let my guard down for the Rangers was when they were going for Game 5 of the Finals against Vancouver, and I'm figuring after coming off 3 straight wins, they were going to go ahead and take care of it in Game 5. And, yes, they took care of it in Game 7, but Game 5, for some reason, was the time where I said, you know what, it's going to happen. There wasn't a doubt in my mind it was going to happen. And then the way that game went, if you all remember, you know, they were down 3-0, tied it up early in the third, and then 10 seconds later,
they came right back
down again. And then you had the fear of God put into you. Even though you wanted them to win, there was never that comfortable it's not going to happen to us feeling. And I can't help it, but even if they get on a streak of playing poorly here, yeah, it'll go through my mind. Same old, same old.
See, it doesn't do that for me, man, though, because it's like those guys back then. I mean, the 94 team, we had some guys that we brought up. I mean, like the Kovalevs, of course, and Richter and stuff like that. But, you know, we had some, you know, young guys. But a lot of those guys were veterans. And so most of our young guys was, you know, we traded them all away, like the Doug Waits and those guys, you know, I mean, to get, you know, to get what we needed to win it. Now it's like I see, you know, now we, in other words, we have it in reverse now. We have a lot of our own guys and a few outside pieces that are in. And now we have actually some young guys that are, you know, on the way up, hopefully real soon, you know, and we have like an outlook on it. Whereas back then we really didn't have, we didn't even know much back then. You know, there was no internet. There wasn't a lot of information. I mean, we might've had more than I even thought, but you know, regardless, I try to separate the two, you know, cause it's like, you know, it's different. It's a totally different feel. Like every time still people will say to me, okay, you should just put the Edmonton Oilers logo on the cup too. Cause, ooh, they're like 7 or 8 Oilers on there, you know. So you still get that. I mean, I don't know if you. I mean, Donnie, I'm in Florida and I get that. So, and I still hear the, you know, like I said, the Edmonton, this and that. So it would be nice. It would be one of the greatest things to see, you know, a bunch of young guys coming up to, you know, all these guys together, and you know, basically the whole nucleus coming together with the outside pieces, maybe a couple of veterans. Like I said, we could have like a Gabrick, a guy who scores, you know, maybe another defenseman, whatever, and put those pieces in place. But, you know, I try to, like I said, differentiate the two, put them, you know, separate them. Because, yeah, I could keep saying same old Rangers, but, you know, I mean, at least they finally won something in 94. If we didn't win anything, I think I'd feel the same way. But since at least we had the one in 94, yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago again. But, you know, I think that thing settled it down for me to make me think differently.
Okay. You're a calmer person than me, because I tell you, you just have that. I always wanted them to win again so I could actually have a season where you had almost no fear of them losing. You know, you had, like, some teams have that, like the years with Pittsburgh and Lemieux. They just knew they were going to win, and you didn't get as nervous. That range, I always said that, you know, after the first two rounds in 94, couldn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to, because they had me so damn nervous all the time that you were more scared than excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, right down to the end.
And I was smoking back then, man. I was walking outside smoking like a fiend, you know. And I had little kids in the house. Doctors told me to take it outside. So I'm walking around. I'm walking back and forth, leaving it. And I'm looking at the TV, and I'm, you know, and just like that, you know, I was nervous as anything. And you guys who know me a while, you know, sometimes I'll ramble on. That's the nerves, you know. I could feel it, you know. That's just the way I am. You know, I get fired up about certain things. But I try to calm it down and slow it down. But, yeah, I was just like you. And you know, I wanted to win so bad. Because that 1940 thing was ringing in my head from, like I said, those were the high school years for me, man. Those years were killers. Every year the Islanders won that damn cup and stuff, and I never heard the end of it. So when it finally happened that they won, it was like, all right, at least they won it once in my lifetime. It's okay. But, yeah, I want more. I of course I want to see them win. I want to see them win it 10 more times if I can. But, you know, I'll take a couple. I'll take one or two more. That would be nice. You know, these young guys – and the way, you know, everything's going and it's starting to fall into place. You're starting to see things looking a better outlook on it. You know, I have a bit more confidence than I used to have for sure.
Yeah, I think James hit the nail. We didn't really enjoy that run. I mean, we enjoyed it when they were up 3-1 and we thought they were going to win in game 5.
Yep.
But after that, all bets were off. And there are plenty of Ranger fans you still talk to that never saw that game 7. They were just too nervous to watch it.
How about that stupid icing at the end, right, with the 1.6? Like, Jesus Christ, they have to freaking blow it. It's like right there I thought, I said, you know, they're going to score like a 0.1 left on there, and we're going to lose this whole damn thing because of this retarded, ridiculous icing call, which made no sense, you know?
Remember when Lafayette hit the post and everybody thought, I think at that point, every other year, we all thought that would have gone in. And
yeah,
maybe at that point, we let ourselves believe, hey, maybe just this time we'll have it. You know, that's what
yeah.
happened for me. When he hit that post, when we first thought Richter stopped that, I'm thinking,
yep,
well, maybe that's the God actually letting us have one.
Yeah, you know what? You know, and I felt the guys. I mean, I remember in Vancouver. How about those fluky goals? You know, it was, you know, one just happened to go Drew McLean's legs. It like hit off some defenseman's skate and hits his pad and goes in. And a couple other ones. There were a couple of fluky ones I remember. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this thing's never happened to us. This never happens to us. So
yeah, there
so,
was you know, one where like McLean lost it in the lights. I think. It was.
Yeah, there was like yeah some long shots
Steve
and stuff
Ballmer,
or whatever, and just yeah, a lot of freaky things. And it was like, all right, this does not happen to the Rangers. This is what happens to us. So. You know, so I had the confidence then, but, you know, like you guys said, game five, I was for sure, too, they're going to win. And then, you know, we go back in game six. I'm like, all right, well, hopefully we win. I mean, yeah, I'd love to see them win it at home in a game seven, but I just want it done and over with because I don't know if I freaking lived through a game seven. And you all, you know, we all been through it, man. We sat there, all of us, in our, you know,
that's
however
why,
old we were, 30 years old about, you know.
That's why I get a little cheesed off. And listen, I'm not going to rag on the younger fans. I guess when they get so upset over a game like last night, especially when the team is playing so well, they get so like, they're like
yeah.
little petulant children that didn't get their way. The Rangers did not win. Let's flip out. Let's start, you know, busting on every player. Jeff Wojtyla is now Satan. You know, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, this is, we got used to losing. We watched them when they used – and even currently they've been, you know, they haven't.
We've been playing great. I mean, what's the record in the last 20 games or so? How many games did we lose in regulation? I mean, what, three or four maybe?
I think we're 7-2-1 in our last 10.
Yeah, and when you look at the regulation losses, I mean, yeah, two have come in maybe, what, the last five games or so, whatever it is. But, you know, all in all, I mean, you know, you're going to have little stretches where you play better and some where you don't. People have to just learn to just, you know, you're going to have a little bad stretch once in a while. Just get over it, move on to the next one, just like the way these players do, you know. Hey, they got to get ready for another one. So us as fans got to look forward to the next one and hope that they, you know, have a better performance, especially offensively, you know, put some in the net. But I even wrote on the wall, too. I says, how come whenever there's a backup, a no-name goalie, whatever, we just can't score against him. I don't understand it. Those guys scare me. You could put Dominic Hasek in that from back years ago, you know, and they could score off him, but then again, he had their number. But there was a couple guys that like that. But, you know, you could get the best of them in there. They'll put the puck in. You get some no-name, they can't score.
I'll see that. That's still got to work on that, James. That's old kind of thinking.
Yeah, that is all kind of thinking, but it always happens. I had a feeling that game. I was like, you know what? I don't have a good feeling. You know, there's some games you have a better feeling than others.
Right.
That was one that as soon as I heard he was like a backup or a sub or whatever, I was like, uh-oh, this isn't going to be good. And I didn't see it, but, you know, of course I saw it was 1-0, and, you know, I was like, poor
well,
Hank, man. The guy gives him one goal.
He did play extremely well. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
All right, we got to run now. We're going to be guests on another show, so... Everybody enjoy the Rangers 24/7 tonight. I hope it's great. I can't wait to talk about it on Saturday. Saturday live from Phoenix, Arizona, from the Jobbings.com Arena. Jim Schmiedeberg will be there. He will be talking. He is the number one banana in this show. I'm just the lowly number two. And we're going to rock it. Visit the website, BlueShirtUnderground.com. The Facebook page is a riot when we're not infighting over there. It's great. And James and Mandar, I thank you. And Jim, as always, goddamn motherfucking pleasure.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And,
thank you, guys.
Hopefully
you
come catch us on the other show.
Take care.
Eddie, I'm going to end the show, and then I will Skype. I'll call you on Skype, and then we'll conference in the other show.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everybody.